today on Real Radio.
You now, if you're a Christian today, you are under, and it is around you, that is this grace of God that we're going to be learning about. Why? Because it is the intrinsic nature of God. He's the God of all grace, says the Bible. It's quite awesome.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 1, continues a series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences. But how do these beliefs really stack up to Scripture? This series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. God's grace is first seen in Scripture way back in Genesis chapter 3. In the Garden of Eden, God willingly covered the sin of Adam and Eve instead of destroying them. God chose to deliver them by an act of His grace. God's grace is still available for us today, and it's simple in its meaning. It's God's unmerited favor and His undeserved blessings and kindness that cannot be earned. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God is the God of all grace. It is in His nature. Every good gift comes from God, and in His infinite knowledge, God knows who will accept His Son Jesus to receive His gift of eternal life. And now, continuing his lesson called Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We looked at John 1:17. Now look at James 1:17. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God's grace is constant. It's a gift. And this is God's nature. Aren't you glad? Listen, I don't know if you've ever studied the gods of other religions, but if you do that, you'll be very happy to always come back into your consciousness that you are a Christian, and the nature of the God that you know is absolutely wonderful. He's gracious. But it is, number one, His benevolent nature. You see, why do I keep stressing this? Because, church, listen, you can't change His nature. He is not going to vary on that. He doesn't change on that. So no matter what's going on in your life, take a big breath and enjoy this, that God's nature is gracious. Period. Secondly, God is sovereign. And I love this because this is going to create controversy. It's going to create emails. And I just love it. What is God's grace? Well, listen. It is an act of His sovereign election. Many have and do and will debate the aspects of the doctrine of election. It's going to happen forever. It has for 2,000 years. It's going to continue. But no one on either side of the camp can deny that it's a biblical doctrine. The Bible says that God has His elect ones. And it's determined by God. Listen, bluntly put, God determines, listen, God determines who's going to be in heaven and who's not. So what? Explain that. Good. Listen, what I just said is true. But listen, you and I need to be careful how we think, because you and I think like an ant does running around on your kitchen table. We think on one level. God is eternal. God knows all things. For him who cannot learn, God cannot learn a thing. He knows all. When the Bible tells us that God has chosen, He has selected, He has His election of those that are His, don't conclude like the ant on the table. Oh no, well, sometimes God's mean and sometimes God's not mean, because that if He selects some to go to heaven, then He must select some that goes to hell. And the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible holds man responsible for rejecting the gospel. Think of that for a moment. The Bible tells us that we need, when we hear the gospel, to respond to it, to listen to it, and to change the way, metanoia, to change the way we think about God and Christ and become a follower of Jesus. The responsibility is upon the believer. We are to preach the gospel to all creatures. Why? Because when we do that, as mere finite humans, we preach the eternal truth of God. God in his wisdom, infinite knowledge, God knows those who are going to accept that message and those who are not going to accept that message. And he's known that from all eternity. Do you understand that? I say, do you understand that? Nobody can exactly understand it, but do you hear that? You say, well, I'm getting a little concerned now, Pastor. Well, good for you. If you're getting a little concerned about that, that's a good sign. You might even ask the question in a moment, well, how do I know if I'm one of the elect? Ooh, you're getting warmer. But the debate about this is complicated, but this answer is simple, and it's this, church family. Listen, God's sovereign grace, his sovereign will, his work, his nature, in his benevolence, makes it very clear throughout the Bible that you can know if you're a child of God or not. First of all, does not the book of Romans say that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons and daughters of God? The Bible tells us that you can accept Christ or you can receive Christ, whatever terminology, you can believe in Christ, trust Christ, and know that you have eternal life. John says in his epistle, these things have been written that you might know that you have eternal life. Firm, sure, confident, eternal life. But there are those in Christendom that say you can't know that. You can't know that. It's a progressive thing. You'll know it later, or maybe you'll know it at your last breath. Answer to that, I don't want that kind of education. What good is that? And it's contrary to what I see in Scripture when the apostles and when others and throughout church history, they announce the glories of Christ and his forgiving grace and his power to save and to present you in heaven with confidence, not insecurity. And so what is the answer, the simple answer to the great debate? Well, ask this question. Are you one of the elect? Do you want to be? How many of you want to be of the elect? The Bible calls us elect. How many of you want to be of the elect? Do me a favor, just for radicalness. Stand, if that's you. You say, I don't like this pastor because I don't like what you're saying and I'm not sure I'm going to stay seated. Look, if you think that freaks you out, just wait till the day Christ comes and he does this. He does what I'm doing. Okay, this ain't nothing. So I hate you. I'm never going to come back to this church again. It doesn't matter. Jesus is going to do this someday. This is just warm up. If you're feeling odd like you should stand, either A, it's because you want to blend in with everybody, or B, listen, you're feeling a little left out. If you're feeling a little left out right now, there's great hope for you. You say, well, how do you mean? The answer to the complex question is, do you want to be one of the elect? Well, I want to go to heaven. Oh, good. Now we need to tell you how to get there. You see, it's Jesus. You can be seated. By the way, if anybody asks you if you've ever stood for Christ, you can tell them now, today, at 8:15 in the morning. I did this many, many years ago, and I got hate mail for what we just did. So go ahead and send it. God is going to do that someday. The Bible says he's going to send forth his angels and gather together his elect. And the Bible tells us that the elect of God are those believers of the Old Testament. Listen carefully, Bible students. The Old Testament saints were called the elect. The Bible tells us the tribulation saints are called the elect. And the church believers are called the elect. Did you know that? Throughout all of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, is this to all Bible classroom? No. I think this is good. We need this. You see, well, we want you to preach more. Whatever. No, we need this education. We need this. You need to know something. You need, when the Bible says, well, it says this about the elect, and the elect goes through the tribulation period. Of course the elect goes through the tribulation period. They're called tribulation saints in the Bible. Don't confuse them with the church. The church was born at Pentecost, and the church will end its earthly lifespan on the day of the rapture. The Holy Spirit came down and empowered the church, and listen, the Holy Spirit will take the church up into heaven. Deposit him in the hand of Christ in the atmosphere. Listen, and then there's the tribulation. You got the Old Testament saints, you've got the church age saints, and you've got the tribulation saints, okay? So don't be confused by that. They all get to heaven by the grace of God. All of them. That's what God does. So again, listen. If today the challenge is, Pastor, if God selects or elects certain people to go to heaven, I'm very troubled by that because I want to be in that group. Here's the good news. You can't be concerned about it unless God is the one calling you to be in that family. It's impossible. The person today who's not interested is not interested because God knew throughout all eternity that when the gospel presentation, which is about to come in about a second, would be rejected by them, that God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, born under the law, Jesus Christ, the eternal God, come to earth in human skin to live a perfect, listen, perfect, righteous life, meeting the demands of the law that Moses represented to mankind. Jesus meets the standard because he is the only one that can not only meet the demands of the law in action and in spirit, that would take God because the law was perfect. No man's perfect. The law was intended to convict us of our sin. Only Jesus could meet the standard. The moment he met that standard, then being qualified toward the law, he turns as priest. He now becomes the sacrifice. And he goes to the cross and dies in our place to pay the debt of all of mankind's broken laws and sin against God. Jesus is our atonement. We'll study this more. He is our salvation. He meets the demand of God in the law, and he meets the redemption of man by his sacrifice. Watch, everybody. He takes lost humanity, an absolute perfection of God. Only the God-man, Christ Jesus, could bring the two together, and it's at the cross. He did that. And that is the most massive, awesome display of grace that the world could ever see. He did that. And it was all his idea. The sovereign act of God. And the Bible tells us, get ready to write these down. Listen, this is what's going to drive some people in this room crazy right now. And look, my flesh wants to agree with you and say, yeah, we got to do something about this. We need to put some criteria on this. Well, here's what the Bible says. Are you sitting down? Hang on. John chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus is speaking, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has what? Everlasting life. True or false? Well, Jesus said it. You got to deal with it. Well, what does it have to deal with? Jesus simply said, and a lot of us legalistic people who tend that way would like to change this. Jesus said, believe the words that I've spoken to you and him who sent me. Believe. Listen, it's going to get more uncomfortable here because I know what I can feel. You're saying, but Jack, you need to define what believe means because somebody's going to take that the wrong way and you're going to be preaching, you're going to be guilty of preaching easy believism. I don't believe in easy believism. Just listen carefully. Jesus said, believe. John 3:18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Believe. How do we come to believe? How do we do this, Pastor? You respond to his invitation. He says, believe. Remember I talked about choosing to love or not to love? It's a choice. What I love about Christianity is our faith is founded upon fact. I don't know what faith you hold to. I don't know what cult group or what other world religion you're into, but you probably have more faith than the rest of us in this room combined. Because whatever you're believing in is a fairy tale. I mean, it's crazy. Well, I believe this, and then this animal did this, and then this thing, and that's what happens, and this is the deal. And if I go through this, you know, order and sequence of things and that, and if I'm, oh man, you know what? I don't know, dude, I'm just telling you, Jesus said, believe on me whom God has sent. Amen. Why do we complicate it? We complicate it because it feeds our ego. Why do churches have big rules and regulations to get you to become a member or to be qualified for heaven? It's control. Where does that come from? Fear. Where does that come from? Unbelief. In the midst of a church. Well, Pastor, don't you want to unfurl some rules? Because you know some people are going to get some bad ideas and we're going to have people. You cannot determine that, nor can I. A church is not some sort of a daycare center with cameras and fences. We invite you to meet Jesus. You will live for him out of love, or you will play some religious game and think you're deceiving people. In reality, you're deceiving yourself, or you'll just turn and walk away and go, that's between you and God. Respond to his call. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. He won't make you believe. He'll invite you to believe. And I made this up. I don't know if it's, I should probably Google it to see if anybody else said something like it. But I believe this because I made it up. You cannot seek after God unless you have been sought after by God. Jesus says, you can't come to the Father unless he draws you to me. Are you being drawn to the Father? Do you want him in your life? You are living, breathing testimony of the Holy Spirit at work, drawing you to Christ. Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. Watch, for whom he, number one, foreknew. There you go, circle the word. That's it. God knew everything before anything ever happened. Just leave it on the screen. Let's follow it. For whom he foreknew, okay, based on that, he predestined. Why? To be conformed to the image of his son. That's being a follower of Jesus. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The word is preeminent one. That's why some of your translations say preeminent for that. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Respond to his call. Whom he called? These he also justified. Notice in the past tense. Isn't that awesome? So what do I need to do to be justified? It's already happened. He already did it. He did it at the cross 2,000 years ago. Amen. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Do you know the Bible says, for all of you who are believers, the Bible says that you are before the standing of God in heaven above, on the annals, the records, on the spreadsheet of God's records in heaven, you are already not only sanctified and justified, you're glorified. You know, if we really believe that, we would sure treat each other differently. Because God sees you, he sees me glorified. You and I can talk all we want about this. We're going to miss it. I don't believe we can fathom this. God didn't ask us to understand it. He asked us to believe it. Okay? And here's the amazing thing about that. This progression, from the moment you respond to the call of God, that's his grace in action. You and I are, even though those are firm and confirmed realities, you and I, in our day-to-day living, we are living into those things, and those things are happening in our lives, and we here in front of one another are becoming those things because this is how God's economy works. Because those things exist in reality in heaven above, you and I are going toward those things. It's kind of like this. What if I were to, Lisa went and looked at the new homes in the canyon yesterday. I don't know why she did this, but have you seen the homes in Carbon Canyon? Have you seen them? They start at like $1.5 million. What possessed her to do this is no doubt Satan himself. She goes there, okay, just like Eve was somewhere without Adam. I wasn't there. She goes, she comes home, And she says, look at these pictures. Look at these model homes, their landscape, the patio. And she's looking and she's looking and she's looking. Now listen, let's stretch this really big time. Let's say I say, ha, I knew you were gonna go there. I bought that one. What? Oh yeah, you saw it and you imagined and you had a dream. Wow, what if? Oh wow, nice. She didn't do that. But I'm just saying, what if I were to say to her, that's great. I knew you were gonna swing by there. I bought that house last week. Here's the key. She would get in the car, she would drive there and open the door and walk in. She didn't know it was hers. She didn't know it even existed until she saw it and heard about it. And she didn't know that it had already been purchased and that it was awaiting. Are you with me? God did all of that, and by the time we arrive at the news, God says, I bought that. With the shed blood of my son Jesus, I bought that. Now here's the key. Go get in it. That's why we as believers need to start acting like God's grace. God has done this. He didn't look at you and say, you know what? You're worthy of that kind of house. You're not worthy, not worthy. He didn't do that. He doesn't think like that. In fact, if I could put it the best I can as a human, is how many of you would like to have a new house? Well, I would think we'd all raise our hands. But maybe there's somebody here saying, I don't believe it. And what if we walked over to that person and said, you ought to come with us. Those promises that have been made before, they've always been good. Well, there's no reason to doubt this promise. Here, you ought to come with us. Here's your key. It's got your name on it. No, I don't think so. I don't believe it. Oh, come on. Oh, no, you guys go. Who's responsible for missing out on the blessing? Your friend Bozo, he misses out. What did you do to get the key to the house? Nothing. You simply reached out and took the key that was handed to you. Respond to the call. How does that happen? By God's grace. He does that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called, Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you have responded to the call of God so His gift of grace can bring you eternal life. Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called, Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's goodness and grace, as well as His plan for our lives. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here's a great idea. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. It's a great way for you to be encouraged and take advantage of the tools and resources that are available as you grow in your relationship with God with the Real Life app. The Bible is right there available for you on the app, mobile friendly. You can read, you can listen, and the one-year Bible plan is right there too. So get involved with the Real Life app. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. You know, there is an easy way to get the Real Life devotion. All you got to do is go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Devotions tab and get the Real Life devotions sent right to your email. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week. Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on the Devotions tab, or why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Get the Real Life devotions once a week to take your walk with God to a deeper level. Are you strong in your faith, but you're not really sure how to approach a non-believer about it? Well, Pastor Jack has a great video that you can either watch yourself to learn more or send to a friend. It's a video called Know God. That's K-N-O-W, Know God. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Know God tab. Maybe you could send a friend or loved one there to watch it, or maybe you can just watch it yourself and learn a little bit more about presenting the Lord to another person. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.